May the words of my lips and the pondering of all our hearts be always open to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do sit down. You may remember that last week we slightly eccentrically celebrated Epiphany. Who will forget the oranges and the stars and the blue tack that wasn't quite blue tack because it was so cold. Anyway, we did. And we somehow combined it with Chris Dingles and oranges and who knows what. The reason I'm mentioning that is that the theme of God's love for the world is evident in both of them, through the oranges and through the star. And the new year encourages us to think about whether we're still lifting our eyes to the heavens to follow where the star is leading, or whether we are just plodding along in the same old way. One of the questions we have to ask, I think, is how do we learn to relate to the God of new beginnings, the God who loves us unconditionally? Ancient Israel's relationship with God was based on a covenant, a solemn promise, an oath, which was taken publicly, and so is ours. Methodist congregations at this time of year generally have a covenant service during the early weeks of January. Sometimes it's sort of around September, but mostly it's the early weeks of January. And each person recommits to trying to respond to God faithfully and fully. Of recent years particularly, it's much more widely adopted by Christians of all sorts. And we might reconnect, I thought, with that great gift of Wesley's today. Back to the Bible, God had established the covenant relationship with the whole people of Israel back in the time of Noah. Remember the rainbow. The boy Samuel was born into a particular covenant relationship with God too. Because the backstory to today's reading was that at the temple, Eli the priest had recognized Samuel's mother's distress. Because at that point, she had no children and there were no signs of her being able to have a child. Eli had prayed for her, and Samuel may have been the result. When Samuel was little, Hannah took him back to Eli and she gave him to serve at the temple. So today we heard how Samuel learns to hear and to respond to God in obedience. And the result is that he is trusted with a painful and difficult message, and he is faithful in reporting God's word to Eli. So the gift doesn't come without strings. Samuel learns to know God when he is tiny, living in God's house, loving and serving the Lord, we might say. Many of us were taken to church as children, no? Do I hear little or see little nods? Are we part of a church perhaps with our parents? Nathaniel, however, comes to follow Jesus as an adult. He's taken along to meet him by a friend. Now, I don't know about you, but when we leave home, many of us go our own way. And often, it doesn't involve the same sort of church, and very often it doesn't involve any church at all, for a chunk. But many of us return to faith, often because of Christian friends. We are welcomed back as adults, as people who think it through afresh. And like Nathaniel, a lot of us initially are a bit sniffy, I put it no higher than that, about whether good stuff can come from an institution that we'd written off. But at some point, we learn to get over ourselves. It somehow all falls into place. We come to know and to love God and ourselves with a bit more generosity. We recognise our Redeemer and our faith for the pure gold that it is, even when we wobble, and we do. But the penny has dropped. We own it for ourselves. It has become part of us. Like Samuel, as we grow in faith, we find that God is with us, familiar, faithful. And just as Nathaniel did, we find that we too can say, "You are the Son of God." Jesus promises Philip and Nathaniel and everyone else there that they would see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The image might, perhaps should, remind us of the ladder of Jacob's dream. Jesus shows us that he is the link between heaven and earth. It's another way of telling us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Because he joins heaven and earth, we can know the presence of God in our own lives. It all makes sense, and at the beginning of any new year, what more could we ask? But our new year is well underway by now. Any New Year's resolutions we've made generally concern things that we should do to look after our health, to be better people, but they don't really address how we might commit our lives afresh to God in response to God's unconditional love for each and every one of all of us. The Bible does it differently because it asks us to make covenants. It asks us to make promises that we know that we can't keep. Every year we realise that we haven't kept it. We may have kept it a little bit better, but we still haven't kept it. So as we think of those new beginnings of Samuel being given to God, and Nathaniel giving his own life to God, we might feel drawn to renew our own personal covenants with God through Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can recommit ourselves to whatever is God's will for our lives. And just drawing on the covenant prayer as it comes to its conclusion, we ask heaven to witness that now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. Amen.